This week's message is titled, The Claims of Jesus. The scripture reading is John chapter 14, verses 1 to 10. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work.
Good morning, everyone. We're delighted to have you with us, and if you're visiting, we hope that you'll feel comfortable and that you'll make it back our way again. If we lived 2,000 years ago, which is difficult to grasp, but try to go along with me on this. If we lived 2,000 years ago, say in the Galilee area or the Jerusalem area, and we saw this man by the name of Jesus, and we heard him speak, and we saw him do remarkable things, would we believe that he was who he said he was, the Son of God who has come into the world? 2,000 years later today, based on what we read about Jesus, based on what Jesus said about himself, based on the claims Jesus made about himself, and they were powerful claims, do you believe that he is the Son of God, and that if you do believe he is the Son of God, will you respond to the question Jesus asks, to believe in him, to repent of our sins, to know that he has come to live in us, to be baptized into Christ Jesus, knowing that he knew us even before we were born, and that no one lives to himself alone, and that no one dies to himself alone, and that if we live, we live to the Lord, and that if we die, we die in the Lord. So whether we live or we die, we belong to the Lord. Do you believe these things? I want to look for just a couple of moments at some of the powerful claims Jesus made. And he wants us to respond to these claims, or at least to know that these claims are true. He makes powerful claims about himself. He didn't keep silent about himself. He spoke about his humanity. He spoke about his divinity. First of all, Jesus claimed he is God. In John chapter 10, 24 through 30, the Jews who were there gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The second claim that Jesus makes is that he pre-existed with God. In John chapter 17, where Jesus goes off by himself and prays, he says this, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Jesus was not just a teacher, but he was God who's come in the flesh for us. The third claim Jesus makes, a powerful claim, that he can forgive sins. Powerfully so. I was thinking early this morning that I haven't done very many good things in my life, but if I've ever done anything that's been helpful, it's usually because of God or Jesus living in me. But so many times, I've done so many things that aren't pleasing to Jesus. And it's usually because I put myself first or I've been ego-driven. Does that relate to anyone? Jesus forgives us when we put ourselves first, but he always wants us to know that he forgives us. Maybe you're here today and you haven't been able to sleep. Maybe you've been going through some struggles in your mind, and if you could just please feel God, this forgiveness, I think I would do better. Please know the scripture I'm going to read. Jesus offers forgiveness. A few days later, this is Mark 2, 1 through 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, and they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus is making himself equal with God, that he came from God. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Personally, to forgive your sins, my sins, our sins. So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And he got up and took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Maybe you've never felt anything like that. If you have sin that's weighing you down, to know God looks you in the eyes saying, "I know you better than you know you, and I love you. And your sins are forgiven because of me." The claims that Jesus made 2,000 years ago are the same claims he makes today, if you can put yourself back in these situations 2,000 years ago, you can put yourself there, but you don't have to. You put yourself where you are today and know that these claims are for us as well. Another claim that Jesus made, he claimed that he is the ultimate judge. In John 5, 24 through 27, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. And very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in him. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of God." And so our question will be, is he a mad judge? Is he an angry judge? Is he a judge that has gone off the wall? Or is he a kind, loving, gracious, forgiving judge? Well, you know the answer. Paul put it this way: there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is none. We often condemn ourselves. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so, knowing that, if you haven't already, wouldn't you want to be in Christ Jesus? If he is God, if he judged the living and the dead, don't we want to be in Christ Jesus? Not just having information about Jesus, but believing he is mine, yours, who knows us better than we know ourselves, who's always offering us an invitation to come to God through him. Another claim that Jesus makes, and it's a powerful claim, and no other one can claim this, that Jesus claimed he is the only way to the Father. The only way to the Father. And you know the scripture pretty well. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, he's not bragging. Jesus came into the world as a selfless one who gives himself to others. He came into the world demonstrating sacrifice. That's the way to the Father, living for others as Jesus lives for us. And he also talks about this later in John 14, verses 8 through 10, where Philip asks, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Now, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but I think there's a pause. So if you can go with me in your mind, picture Jesus and Philip, and there may be other people all around. And Philip goes up and says to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And now there's a pause. So what's Jesus going to say? That's a good question, Philip. That's a really good question, someone might say. I'd like to know that answer too. Just show us the Father, and that's enough. Pause. And then Jesus says, I think in such a gentle voice, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, don't you know that anyone who has seen me has seen the Father? How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." I think only Jesus could make that claim. Another claim Jesus makes, and this is most powerful is that he has the authority to forgive, to save, and he also has the authority to condemn those who are ashamed of Jesus, and these are my words, and those who would want to make fun of Jesus. Jesus spoke the world into existence. He knew us before we were born. He's come to give us himself. He forgives us of our sins. How in the world could we ever be ashamed of him or make fun of him? And he makes a claim about that. In Mark 8, 31 to 38, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. And you know this story. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and ashamed of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. He makes a strong point in his teachings. When we are so self-conscious, so ego-driven, so all of my needs must be met, then we lose who we really are. We weren't made to live that way. We were made to be like Jesus in the sense of looking out for others, giving ourselves to others in a powerful way. Whoever wants to save their life loses it by putting ourselves first. But when we see that Jesus gives himself to us, that we can help others and come alongside others, then maybe we begin to grasp a little bit of the teachings of Jesus. And then Jesus claimed that he is due honor, just as God is honored. If we want to understand what's important to God, we just need to look at Jesus himself. John 5, 17 through 24. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And please hear this. Jesus knew the claims he was making wasn't going to be easy to be accepted. He knew there were people who were going to be very upset with what he was saying because they were waiting all of their life for the Messiah to come. And he's standing in front of them. And he's saying what a Messiah would say. I'm here. And they couldn't see him. They put so many blockages in their spirit and in their own eyes that they couldn't see God standing in front of them. What about you? What about you? This Jesus who came to save back then comes to save today. So it's powerful in what he's saying. In verse 19, Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so, the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but he has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father sent him. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. So do you think that what we just read is what Jesus is saying to you? Is the gospel and what we're doing today always for someone else? Someone who's maybe a little more spiritual than you think you are. Or someone who knows a little bit more about God than maybe you think you do. Or. Or are you here today willing, maybe for the first time, to accept what Jesus claims, listen now, about himself and about you? The claims Jesus makes are always about you and him. That he knew us before we were born, and that he loves us, and that no one lives to themselves alone, even though you may think you do, you don't. If we could see who surrounds us, we'd never be the same. He promised us, I've never left you. I'll never leave you. And I'm here giving myself to you. So then, one of the final claims that Jesus makes is a powerful claim. He declared loudly and clearly that he wants to save everyone. For God so loved the world, including you. And there's something inside of us that goes, oh, I'm not ready. Or there's something inside of us that goes, no, you don't get it. You just don't get it. You don't know who I am at all. No. He knows everything about you. And the message is for you. He claimed loudly and powerfully that he wants to save every single person. And on Matthew 28, 16 through 20, what sometimes has been called the Great Commission, maybe better put, the Great Permission, that God permits us to know him in such a powerful way, says in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even until the end of the days. And then the one that we know so well, John 3, 16 through 18, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world, to save you, to save you. And whoever believes in him will never be condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they haven't believed in his name, that he and God are one. So I want to conclude this today by going back to the beginning. If we lived 2,000 years ago in Galilee or Jerusalem, and we saw Jesus, we heard him speak, we saw what he'd done, we know that he was unjustly killed. People wanted to get rid of him, thinking that if they killed him, they would get rid of him. And all along, he died shedding his blood for the very people who were killing him. That when his blood was shed and he said, "It is finished," it means that sins are no longer put ahead. It means sins are forgiven now. And that's why John 3:16 stands so powerful. God so loved the world. And the way to really grasp that is to put your own name there. God so loved you that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you heard him speak, and you know that he's given himself for you, would you respond to him? Would you respond to him by doing what he asks? He that believes, the one who believes and is baptized will be saved. It wasn't too many days after all of this, after Jesus died and he went up to heaven and he left himself in the spirit of all of the people there that we still have today. God's spirit helps us to know Jesus in a powerful, powerful, powerful way, greater than our own intellect. That there was something called Pentecost, and it was a Jewish holiday. And all of a sudden, Peter and John and other people started preaching the name of Jesus. They pretty well preached what I just read to us today. They pretty well preached all the claims that Jesus made, letting people know, this is not some kind of figment of your imagination. Oh, and by the way, many of you who were there, Peter is saying, you've seen him, you've heard him, you know what he was all about. Do you believe that he is the Son of God? And people, some people who gave it no consideration, all of a sudden did. And so many people responded to the message. Some 3,000 people were baptized that very day. And they gave themselves to Christ Jesus. And we don't know each of their stories. Some left. Some went back to Africa. Some people traveled in Israel. Some people never left, but some people were there. But they heard the message. No matter where you go in this world, you carry what Jesus claims in you, wherever you go. If you heard his claims, you feel his claims, you believe his claims, you believe him. Will you respond to Christ Jesus? If you were there and you heard Peter and the other disciples say, "Men and women of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which he did among you, as you yourselves know. He was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, for it was impossible for death to keep its grasp on him." And the people responded by saying, "What do we do?" And Peter responded with the same answer that Jesus gave. Repent, change your life, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus. That's what Jesus said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive God's Spirit coming to live in your life. Being baptized is the easiest thing in the world. The actual baptism is the easiest thing in the world. I'm standing in water. Someone brings me down into the water. I come up out of the water. It is one of the greatest moments anyone could ever have, not because of the water, but because you are demonstrating in a physical way what Jesus asks us to do. When we take communion, we take that little cracker, we take that little bit of sip of drink. It represents the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Our baptism represents Jesus gave his life for me, and he's still pouring out his life into my heart. He asks me to be baptized in water. When we are born into this world physically, there is water. When we're born spiritually, there's water. It is a rebirth, accepting the claims of Jesus. And if you're here today, and this message has touched you in some way, and you would like to be baptized into Christ Jesus, you can speak to me, you can speak to our elders, you can speak to anyone here who will help you. The claims of Jesus are powerful. So let me conclude by saying, if we lived 2,000 years ago and we saw this man and we heard this man and we witnessed what he did and what he said and who he was and who he wants us to be, would we, will we respond to Jesus? Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.